This is Wine, Women, and Revolution with your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. Hi, and welcome to Wine, Women, and Revolution. I'm your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. You can find us online at www.njrevolutionradio.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and get us wherever you get your podcasts from. Today, this is a recording of a conversation I had with Henry Green for his show Voices of Atlantic City. I've touched up the quality a little bit, removed some of the noise, and now I'm bringing it to you guys. I hope you enjoy it.
Good morning. I'm Henry Hank Green, and I'm with the Voices of AC. We're trying to get out more information into the city. So instead of going off show, the Kevin Hall Show program on Friday nights on WND, I'm trying to present some information and get information out as fast as we can from a different perspective. And today, our first show, we're starting off with a good friend of mine, Heather Warburton. We've been together since our times with the Green Party, and now she's a radio host of a great podcast that's going on right now called Radio Revolution.
New Jersey Revolution Radio.
It's a good show from a lot of different perspectives from many people from around.
You've been on a few times.
around New Jersey, and that's about liberating the country, liberating our city, liberating the state, giving people fair chances and opportunities, equalities. There's a lot of different things where people don't want other people to have some of the things, or don't think they deserve some of the rights and benefits of others. And I'm proud to have Heather here because they've been fighting along a lot of aligned lines and things like that. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here for the inaugural episode of Voices of Atlantic City.
Well, you know, you're one of the main people who have been encouraging me to do more with podcasting and take it to the next step. And I appreciate you for doing so and trying to encourage me to share my views and passions and things like that.
Podcasts and politics are a good mix.
It's a good mix, well, I want you to share a little bit with my audience more about New Jersey Revolution and what you're all about and what your initiatives.
All right, so New Jersey Revolution Radio is myself and a comrade of mine, and we're basically, when you have the mainstream media, only certain voices are allowed to be heard, especially voices of people with a lot of money. You know, it's not voices of the people, okay, the actual working class people, the marginalized people, the people who can't afford to buy themselves a politician or buy themselves a media outlet. So this is New Jersey Revolution Radio is trying to be the voice of the people. We're nothing without the community that we're building. And it's trying to be a voice for the activist community, for an anti-capitalist perspective. These are just not the sort of perspectives that you might get. We do long form. I try to inspire everyone to be an activist. This is kind of one of the goals of my personal show, that you don't have to be special. You don't have to be some sort of anything other than who you are to be an activist and to get your voice out there. And once we all come together and bring the voices of the people forward, that's when magic happens.
And a revolution doesn't really start by one particular group. In order to start a revolution, we need everybody.
Right. I can't go out on the street corner and have a revolution by myself. Well, I just get arrested.
Because a lot of folks, especially in our community or even on my show, you know, I speak so pro-black about a lot of issues and things. Many people think that I'm anti-white or I'm anti, you know, anti-white, white folks and things like that. And it's far from the truth. You know, I am pro-black. I do think that we are, African-Americans are set up in a position after slavery, Reconstruction, and things like that, where we're behind the eight ball a little bit more, and we need additional help, just the way that things have been and over time. And right now, it might be a better time where people are more open-minded and things like that, but a lot of those systems and practices are still set in place.
Oh, without a doubt, we still have a highly racist and highly white supremacist society. So, you know, you're not being anti-white, you're being this anti-white supremacist society that we live in, which is ingrained into all of us from an early age. And it's not set up to be fair. It's intentionally not fair. And they intentionally divide us.
Right. And that's true. They intentionally divide us. That's one of the things about Revolution Radio. When you go to a meeting, you have all sorts of people from all sorts of backgrounds, and that's what I love when I go to these meetings. When I and like I say, I might be one or two or three of only African-American people in the room that are fighting for issues that concern us. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly other folks that are in that room that are standing up fighting for us. And, you know, many people in our community might not see that or know that, you know, but and even with the NAACP and those groups, Urban League and groups like that, when they were first starting off, there were white folks and people behind those groups that understood the reality of it, of the immorality of what was going on in America, and they were out there to support us. And so, you know, there are many, many people out there, no matter what their shades or their backgrounds are, that understand what the situation are, and they're advocates for change. And that's one of the main things that I love about the group that we're in. I loved about the Green Party, mm-hmm. that we were so diverse and the voices were coming from so many different perspectives, and they weren't coming from the same normal old perspective. How do you think that Revolution Radio can make changes forward in here in New Jersey? Or what are you guys planning on doing to make more different changes and things?
Well, the first thing I wanted to say also was that, you know, I get why a lot of people of color don't trust white people and shouldn't trust white people. I mean, historically, you know, most of the atrocities have been committed by people who look like me. So it's not being anti-white to look at history and right. say, hey, you know.
Well, you know what? As soon as we say stuff like that, folks get defensive. and they're not.
Well, they're not going to accuse me of being anti-white.
I was leading on to some of the things you were doing.
That we were doing to change.
To change, but like one of the things was one of the issues that you had with Miss Randy Carter in mm-hmm. the Vintner situation about her daughter in the school, and out of that, I've met some other great folks who stood up in that that cause have come out of that. Another young lady named Heather, who I thought was
Heather
really,
Gordon.
Heather
yeah.
Gordon. She was really
She's
outgoing.
Awesome too.
But you guys support and go to the rescue of a lot of people with a lot of.
Well, we don't need to come to the rescue of anyone. What we need to do is make sure that their voices are heard.
Right.
Like, we're not. Everyone can, you know, if they have the chance for their voices to get heard, which the system's not set up for. Then, you know, you hear people's hearts and souls, and how can you not try to join in and help them then? You know, Randy's just somebody who wants a good education for her kids. And, you know, I was fairly disappointed at how few people showed up for that, you know, how can you be like, see this system and think that that's okay? And I guess we should catch people up that her children were in class, and they were 10, I think, was how old her daughter was. And the teacher was doing an issue on Harriet, or a lesson on Harriet Tubman, and said that some black people wanted to be slaves, that some slave owners were really good people. And I think there was also who was going to pick the cotton otherwise. Like, it was some really atrocious stuff. And you'd think this teacher should have at least gotten reprimanded or apologized even. But a lot of people were just not accepting this as being a problem. So that's the kind of things that, and it didn't get the major media coverage. I heard her on your show was where I first, you know, heard about her and reached out to her through you. So we all need to be amplifying each other's voices. And
so speaking to that, it was an issue you don't know much about a basketball coach here in Atlantic City.
Right, yeah, I hadn't heard that.
You haven't heard about that was terminated for sending some text messages and things like that to some of the kids, telling them at the end of the season that they didn't deserve a banquet basically.
Yeah,
but, you know, it's been a pattern going on for a while with that particular situation. But my issue had been that once the coach was fired, so many people came out the woodworks in support of a firing of a coach, and they didn't even talk about really the issues and the concerns that they had about what the coach was doing to the kids, or the issues with the children, or the fact that the children are not graduating, going to college and things like that. That those types of things never came up. And again, a situation with Randy, no one shows up at a council meeting in support for these types of things, but in the newspaper, online, everywhere else, mm-hmm. they're going crazy about a basketball coach. A basketball coach. Our moralities, the things that are important to us, are mixed up in what we stand for. It's like the things like Empire and these reality shows and mm-hmm. all of these things like that is what's moving our kids and what's important to them and what's important to the world. And these things are like the most least important things
right,
in the world.
Right, they're distractions.
That we're basically implementing into our children's brains or adults themselves value more than standing up and coming out and fighting for issues that one day could be them in their circumstance. Mm-hmm. And yet we can't get people to come out and fight for things like that at any time in this particular community, but they'll come out and fight for something as frivolous as a basketball coach. Because that's frivolous, if you ask me, when it's compared to our kids who are failing at the bottom of the list in the state of New Jersey, in the classes in Atlantic City, at the bottom. These kids that are by third, fourth grade, they're just moving them on and pacifying them and babysitting them. They're not even teaching them no more. And so it's easy for people to come in our community, make good money, and basically be an all-day babysitter, and no one's complaining about that. No one goes to the council meeting about that. No one's on Facebook about that. Where's the outrage from all these uppity jokers running around here wanting to protect, you know what I mean, somebody for a crappy job, a basketball job? And I can't get nobody to talk about our children and what's happening in the devaluation of the school system. Uptown, New York Avenue, Pennsylvania Avenue, Martin Luther King, they are terrible.
Yeah, I think, and this is one of the things that I like to talk about a lot, is people lose their thought that anything can change. They don't see themselves as being able to improve things, so you become complacent. But really, Atlantic City has resources that are being exploited by other people, not by the residents of Atlantic City. It's not, you know, there's a lot of resources and tax money in this town that you can design your school system to look better. It doesn't have to be what it is just because that's what it is right now.
Right.
You can custom design the world to look different, that you just have to envision it and come together and say, well, what we're doing is not working.
Well, I think that the people who are in these roles and the people itself in the city don't understand that they have that power to do so.
All power lies with people.
You know, they
That's,
have the power.
You know, well, they just don't know it.
Even
they don't see
even
it.
Even we have a majority of African-Americans on the school board. We have a majority of African-Americans on our council. They have the power and the tools. I don't know if they have the education or the thinking outside the box or whatever the case in order to vision to do things like to want to do things like that. You got to have the vision to want to do. I don't even know why you would even take the job if that. Why would you take those jobs if you don't have those visions? How can I help and build and make the school system better? Why am I becoming a school board member? Why am I becoming a council member? So if I'm becoming a council member, my job is to create and elevate my community, bring resources to my community. Now, I don't know why these individuals that are on the council now decided or what their reason is for, because I don't see that type of initiative. I don't even know if they know they have that ability and that's part of their job description, and they know that, you know what I mean, this is something that they can do, that they can bring resources, that they can be advocate for different services. I don't know. Maybe the people before them wasn't doing it and they took from what they saw before them. They figured, when I get the job, that's all I have to do. I just have to go vote one time a month and...
Well, that's why your podcast and my podcast and things are important, because we can be like, okay, so you have these options. You can change things. The power's yours. And then once they really hear that and internalize it, then if you choose not to make a change, that's on you.
Right.
Like right now, people get so beat down, they don't even think they can change things. But once we empower people, and that power always lies in the people, that once we get people to understand that they can design whatever they want, and you have people that will support you in that, then, you know, they understand that, then they can start making the changes.
Right.
So I don't know any of the people on the school board.
Right.
I can't say why they're there, why they're not there, but maybe they just don't even know the power they have.
I think that's more or less, even with the council, school board, some of the other boards and things that are going on, there's a lack of knowledge and no one's sharing the information. It's all about... Matter of fact, we're keeping the information from the people and understanding that they have the ability and the power to make the change that's necessary. The council people have the ability and the power. The school board has, that's part of their power. Like, so when we're going to come up, when they finish with this case, we're going to see if the school board has understand that they have the power that they have to continue to do what they did, or they've been usurped in their power and they're going to listen to someone else above them and make the changes according to what someone else is thinking.
There's always someone that wants to take your power from you. Like, look at what happened in Camden, that they haven't had the right to even vote on their school board for, I think it was like 15 years.
Right.
Until this very year, they haven't even, everybody's like, no, you don't want to deal with that. Let me take care of that for you.
Right.
You know, and now they're finally like, you know, maybe we should have the power to say who our school board's
going
to be.
What about, we talk about charter schools and things like that. In our community, there's some individuals that want to do an all-males charter school. And I think that would be great for the way that our children have been failing and things like that. But the narrative from the NJEA has been that any charter schools and things like that is taking money out of their pockets. But
I'm anti-charter school. You know, I'll say that, you know, honestly, I do not ever support privatizing and somebody making a profit off of public education.
Right.
That's money that should be going to the kids, and it's going to somebody's wallet. You know, all charter schools, and they get to pick and choose their students. So they pick out all the best, all the shining
stars.
So is
that how all of the charter school situations work? Because I have a young man who would like that. We would like to have an all-male school here in Atlantic City. Only reason that they're trying to do it, because if we go to the council, I mean school board, like we just was talking
right,
about.
Right, they're going to shut you down.
We can go to them and say, hey, we need an all-boys. Right now we're saying we need middle schools right here. Middle schools in our city are beneficial from between them sixth graders and those eighth graders inside of a school all day with the first two. It's not a good thing. The things that they're seeing with those older kids right now, so they need to be separated and you know, put in different places. So we can't even get our school board
to come to
an agreement on a middle school. So if let's say our children are failing and having an all-boys school, especially in African-American in an urban area, with male teachers will help these boys be successful. Why wouldn't we try and utilize and have the school system change that or give us the opportunity, the monies from the school system to be able to still do the same thing? Not that we're making money over here, we're trying to save kids.
I mean, I get, you know, it's not coming from a bad place.
Right.
And I have, you know, I think I briefly met the people in the hallway because they were outside on the Kevin Hall show. You know, so I get if something's not working, you need to try to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is public school has to be for everybody.
Right.
So if you're pulling money out of that, what about the people that didn't get selected to go to this?
Right. It wouldn't.
What about the girls in Pleasantville now,
well,
who half of the money of their school budget's pulled out?
We need to make an all-girls school then. But it's about success. So if we got these schools right now and you're getting all the money, this is public schools and everybody's getting all the money, but all the kids are still failing. There's no success. You should take all the money away then. Because you're not doing a job.
But you're hurting the kids is the thing.
The kids are still hurting them.
The kids are still hurting.
So we got a public school system right now that's being run right now, and kids are failing and they're hurting right now. What's the success of that?
Right. That's where we have to start saying, how do we actually make public schools work? Because what we're doing isn't working.
Right.
You know?
So maybe these other ideas might be successful. We can't not utilize another idea that might actually help our kids based upon principle.
No, it's based upon somebody's making a profit off kids. That
right.
should be public.
All right,
money.
Let's just say we do it through the school system. You make all male schools, all girls schools on your dime, and you control it. But the principle and the idea stays the same.
Having a public school that serves different communities because everybody learns differently,
right.
That is an idea, an out-of-the-box idea that maybe we can talk about. But as soon as somebody's like, I want to take money and privatize anything that people need, you
right.
need an education. So if somebody's taking money and privatizing that, and it's going into their wallet and making some rich... Am I allowed to curse on this program?
Yeah, you know.
You know, some rich douche nozzle in Camden is taking money out of Atlantic City's public schools, you know?
I'm against that, too. But
if you want to redesign public schools...
Local people from the community creating new schools and developing the new schools itself. This is us doing
this. I don't know enough about this because I'm not an education advocate, so I wish I could tag in some of the really awesome activists I know. But there's something called community schools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've got, you know, I just had Keith Benson from Camden or Johnny Latner from up in Newark. They're big proponents of what a community school. It's a little different from just your traditional public school,
mm-hmm.
but it's still a public school. They take everybody. They serve everybody. But they just serve people differently.
Well,
and, you know, that's something like that.
But
and it's not for profit. It's out-of-the-box thinking.
That's what we're talking about.
But it's not...
We gotta
stripping the community of their resources.
Right. And I wouldn't want to do that, too. That's what I'm saying. Especially if the people are from the community that are doing what we're doing, then we're not stripping them from
their
resources.
You know, and you look in, they're going to have to take out loans from somebody,
right.
probably. So there's some stripping money, like
but
predatory
maybe we can just
lending.
Get this school system to fund the project, but it's still part of the school system.
Public school systems, right. You know, there's, again, you can design whatever you want.
Yeah! If we got power, we can do that. But we have to sit down and be able to start thinking and wanting more. We're so used to the low-hanging fruit. This is what they offer in at the bottom. Let me grab that. You know, we're going to take it and settle for that. And instead of saying, you know what, I see so much more in the future. I'm going to reach for that. We're teaching to grab for the bottom round here and not reach and not go further and not expect, you know, Henry Green, you're not expected to want to be mayor. You're not expected to want to be a director. You should just settle. You're a black guy. You should be a laborer like they want me to be. You should be a laborer. Go mop floors, wash dishes. Well,
you know, I think you should be mayor. I supported your last
go dig some holes. Not just because who you are, just because you are black male, and why are you aspiring for more than, you know what I mean, what you probably should have? And that's how I feel.
Rights and resources aren't pie. You know, if you get your slice, that doesn't mean that somebody else doesn't get theirs. Yes. You know, like, you get to have all your rights and all your resources and all your future. And people just feel, they fear things, especially, you know, the white supremacist, patriarchal, like, oh, well, if somebody else gets all these special privileges I get, then what's going to happen to me? Uh-huh. I don't get to be, you know, king of the mountain. But no, like, we empower everybody. Right. Everybody should have these same, no one should be forced into being anything or not taught to aspire.
It's, and I told you this about when Seth came around, and it's bad. Because I do believe in Atlantic City, in this area, they go off of, if a white person didn't tell me or say do this or do that, black folks won't move. They won't do nothing without being tapped on the shoulder by a superior white man, white woman, whoever, and before they do anything. They don't have the kahunas to, or whatever it is. I don't move, I don't say nothing until white folks say something. And if white folks don't say nothing to me, they're not going to do nothing. They're not going to step outside the box. They're going to stay in their lane, in their corner, and that's it.
Yeah, don't trust people who look like me. Seriously.
But they do. They won't move. They won't do nothing around here unless somebody white, somebody from the state, Sweeney, the governor, somebody else, whoever it is, if white is right all day long around here. And so it was bad that I can go around here and say all the stuff that I'm talking about, whatever it is, and no one really, they don't take heed to nothing that I'm saying for real. But if I get validated by a white person, say, yeah, he's right, all the African-American people around here be like, oh, yeah, right, he must be saying something. Oh, yeah. And that's terrible. I walk these streets with Seth, with you and Seth and them, and the respect, if I can walk around here by myself, I'm not going to get type of respect, but I walk around here with two white people, they're going to think I'm God.
Yeah.
You must be God. You got two white people with you, and you must be important. Right, and it's horrible.
Stuff that's built into society, and you're taught that. I mean, through media, through TV, through even just the, you know, reality TV shows or the fictional TV shows, that's taught, like, oh, you know, you've got to respect this person and not respect that person. So there's so many things
you
in
train.
Society.
When you go into a situation, you have to be this way, you have to look, and my own people, my community, they don't like me, because I don't bow down and I don't play that. I'm me wherever I go, anytime, white, black, I don't care where you put me at, I'm always going to be me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these cats around here can't live their life like that. They stuck in this box, in this image that they think they got to be who they got to be and things like that. There's no image with me. This is who I am, and this is what you're going to get at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter who I'm talking to or who I'm interacting with. And so my own people saying, you're not acting enough, you know, good enough in front of the white people, Hank. The stuff that you're saying, oh, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get killed. And this is what I hear.
Mean, you know, I get the fear, too. Like, they're...
I don't know. Society, but, unfortunately, know. I'm sorry that they live their life in fear like that.
Mm-hmm. Because fear's controlling.
Because I'm
fear
free.
Fear is so controlling.
I'm free. You know what I mean? Only people I'm locked up from around here is my own people. Black folks around here keep me locked down. I got a lot to give. Only people in my way from... stepping up doing the things that we need to be doing in our community. My own folks in the way.
Yeah.
And they got to get out the... A lot of them got to get the hell out the way if they want to see progress.
Yeah, I mean, people love to block progress because it's that fear again. Fear just keeps you in your...
You want to shake and upset a white man, Hank. We can't have you around talking like you're talking. They not going to give us nothing. We're going to, and it's not about them giving us anything. Everything we have is here, is ours.
Right. Now, nobody should be, the white man shouldn't be giving anything. It just, you know, it's historical. You're being colonized mentally, even, that it has to come from outside of your community. But nope, it comes, the resources are there, you know. Your community has the resources.
All day.
And they've, somebody's taken them away and given them back to you.
And it's crazy.
That's how colonizing works, you know? Yeah. That's how capitalism works.
It's been going on a long time here and things like that. But okay, let's, you know, I mean, we won't move on to another topic, you know, because we've been rolling on that one right there.
Yeah, you and I, we talk a lot. We are two big mouths here.
Yeah, we get into it. We get to have a serious conversation about the thing. What's happening, Grover? How you doing, Gina? You know,
what other comments did we have? Should we talk to the audience here a little bit?
We can talk to the audience a little bit if you guys want to talk.
At least thank them for being on.
Yes. So how you guys doing out there? You wanted to start with the next topic?
All right. Yeah, what are we going to?
Let's go to socialism.
Socialism. Okay.
I wanted to talk about that.
You
because you shook Kev a little bit with socialism. And you kind of, when you explained to me what a socialist were, now I have my own vision of it, and it's not...
Mm-hmm.
Russia, you know what I mean? But,
right.
I understand what a socialist society is supposed to be. It's about the even out of the goods and freedom of everyone, you know, equaling out having the things they need to survive, basically. But give me your definition.
So it's good to start with from what we have and explain how it's different. What we have is a capitalist system. Workers, people, everyday workers, go to work, they produce value. And then somebody else takes all that value of labor that you produce and gives you back a small fraction of it because they, for whatever reason, had the money to own where you work. They, you know, maybe their family was rich, whatever their reason, but they own everything and you have to sell your labor to live. You get nothing out of what you produce. You get nothing from what you do, even though it's workers drive everything. So in a socialist or a communist, you know, I don't think these are scary words. In a socialist society, you own the value of what you produce. Every dime of it goes to, you know, if you own a bread factory, everybody's equal in that bread factory, for example. Everybody, you know, gets whatever the profits would be. Mm-hmm. Nobody's draining that out. Everybody, it stays right there and the people are making the bread every day. Mm-hmm. So it's about keeping the value you create. And this country, we are so unequal that the top 1% owns over 50% of the resources in this country. You know, the Walton family, the Koch brothers, these people own every single thing. And then they expect you to sell yourself for pennies. You can barely survive. You can't, you know, we're talking about dreaming bigger. You can't dream of anything bigger if you're just hustling to stay alive. And so in a socialist, you own that yourself. Nobody owns your production. You own it yourself. And again, let's think about different things. Like if what we're doing isn't working, let's open it up and have discussions about what a better society could look like. If everything was evenly distributed in this country, I believe the number is every single person would be getting $76,000 a year.
Wow.
If it was 100% even, we wouldn't have somebody making billions and somebody making $8 an hour.
Well, what's the problem with people? Do people hear this portion or understand this portion of socialism, or do they have a different fraction mentality?
There's a knee-jerk reaction originally because everybody thinks, you know, well, this is going to lead to those, you know, dictators from, you know,
like
this is going to lead to Stalin, but. That's not even a communist society. Because in a communist society, it's the people that lead everything. It's the people that have the power. It's not, again, somebody taking the power and saying, here, let me hold on to that for you and I'll double it back to you. It's everybody.
Well, tell me, how come the people can not trust people in that situation? Because that's what they're saying, they don't trust people. But then trust people, the politicians.
Right. You don't trust your neighbor, but you trust some idiot in Trenton.
I don't know. How is that possible? You know, what's, say something. I don't get that.
I don't get it. I can't explain it. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Like, what the world? Because usually that's what they're going to say. It's like, well, just human nature how it's been, you know. I don't
think that's what they always say, it's human nature. Everybody likes to project what they're doing right now and what their feelings are and say, well, that's human nature. Let's go back to when we evolved to be humans, though. You know, back when we were just, you know, coming out of caves. Mm-hmm. You couldn't have one person taking all the resources, or humanity would have never lived, you know? We evolved to be cooperative, because that's how we survive. We're not like tigers, you know, that are, can just go out and kill something on their own, mm-hmm. you know, with their sharp claws. No, we dominate this planet because we can work together. We bounce ideas off each other. We collaborate. We build amazing things together. That's human nature.
What's the future of democratic socialism? We talked about Alexandria earlier and mm-hmm. things like that. Is that the first person that's been elected with that type of mindset? Or is it the same type of mindset?
It's a slightly different mindset, because they still are trying to work within the Democratic Party, which we know I don't. Right. you know? They're still more reform rather than completely rebuild.
Okay.
I guess would be the difference, that, you know, they think that they can trim around the edges and make it into something, and maybe you can make it into something better, but it's never what that, you know, thing that you could be.
Right.
You're just trying to, you know, fit the round peg into, or the square peg into the round hole, and maybe you trim the corners off the square, you know.
Wow. But I find it to be really interesting that she's made that impact and that that's going to give other folks opportunity to hear
a similar
message
of
where you're at. You know what I mean? You're mm-hmm. way ahead of the curve, but, you know, early on. Because in the future, you know, with the way that things are going, I think that's what people are going to be expecting down the road.
I hope so. I hope that it's catching on and that people are starting to have these conversations. Whereas before, you know, walking in a room and saying, I'm a socialist, I mean, you still get it a little bit, but it's not as knee-jerk reaction now. People are like, okay, well, what does that mean? What can we take from that, you know? And nothing's perfect. No one person's figured everything out yet.
Right.
We have to work together to
maybe
do that.
Because it could be a combination of both of these entities that we use.
Right. Who knows what the perfect, you know, society is? We haven't built it yet.
You know, it could be more than one of society that we use, you know, because we, you know, we're doing a lot of these socialist things already under the government, yeah, but just not, you know, how we could be, you know, I mean, we could be mm-hmm. a little bit more, and we wouldn't be complaining about that. It would be like we are a socialist government, maybe without the high pay, but we would have medical and
right.
And all
we're
kinds
paying
of things
more
like
for worse quality medical care. How does that make sense to anybody? That if we had a single payer, for example, like every other advanced country in the world has, you know, we'd pay less, everybody would be covered, and we'd have better outcomes.
Right.
But somehow we're against that.
Well, you know, that's the capitalistic part of it, where I could drain it for more and more and more and
right.
more. Let me keep cutting and let me keep seeing how much more I can take off the top. And so
I just saw something that was going around, and it was somebody's insurance denied them a surgery because they didn't have enough money for the copay. And they're like, we suggest you set up a GoFundMe.
So
that was an insurance company. I'm like, well, you know, if we're going to be setting up GoFundMes and socializing the cost of healthcare, maybe we should try to do that on a national level.
Right. Right. If we're asking everyone to give, because basically that's what we're asking for. we can ask everyone to give, and they're going to give through their whatever they're doing,
right.
And everyone's going to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Cradle to grave, you know, always covered. None of this, well, you know, you deserve to have this, because we like to place the blame on individuals.
Right.
We love to do that. It's your fault that you're in this situation.
Right.
When really it's society's fault that you're in that
situation.
I
hear that all the time, blaming it on the people. Mm-hmm. Of things being their fault versus, you know, someone else who's able to navigate the ebbs and flows of life and make it,
right.
You know, well, if I made it, you know what I mean, and, you know, I'm such and such and such and such, look at me, you know, you too should have been able to make it, you
right.
know, and it's just not fair, and it's not, everyone is not everyone.
Right, Well, and they say that to make it out of poverty, you know, everything has to go right in your life for 10 years. Not one thing can go wrong in your life for 10 years. And then maybe you're one of those rare cases of somebody who makes it out of poverty. Mm. How many, you know, I just had to get new tires on my car last week, you know. That was $700. Like, you know, that was something that went wrong. My tires dry rot.
Yeah.
It's like, who can say nothing's gone wrong in their life for 10 years?
Right. And that's crazy. That's real crazy. But that was pretty interesting. I want to get a chance to make sure that you get that information out there and people get a chance to hear about the different views and the sides of socialism, democratic.
Get rid of that knee-jerk reaction. Don't, you know, maybe you have it and you're thinking it's going to be something different than it is. But really think about, you know, if what we're doing isn't working and you're not even allowed to criticize that and say, let's try something different. How does that ever get us where we want to be?
Right.
You know, you've got to think about how can we design a society that works? Because what we're doing isn't working. 40% of people last year had some material need they couldn't meet. Be that food, healthcare, shelter, clothing. 40% of our society. And you're going to say this is working?
Mm. Man, well, I don't know about that. I don't know about it working, but
right, that is not a functional society.
So, the next thing I wanted to talk about, we didn't get a chance, you know, I wanted to talk about this more. I want to do a great show on this coming up. I want to do a seminar because many people in our community doesn't really know what's going on with the marijuana legalization, recreation. It's happening. They done signed off pretty much when they're ready to take a vote. But there's a lot of things up in the air about the whole thing. You know, I have so many questions.
I'm not an expert, but I have a show that'll be coming up in a few weeks where I interviewed two of the men from United Food and Commercial Workers, which is a local union here out in Mays Landing, that they were actually there the day that all these votes, there was this massive session, a joint with Assembly and Senate in New Jersey, where they voted on moving forward all of this package of bills out of committee to a floor vote. And these were gentlemen that were actually there and saw things that were coming out and saw the discussions. So look for that in a couple of weeks. But luckily, you know, because I've done that interview, I have a little bit of knowledge of what happened.
Well, I'm baffled on, first of all, the tax. I know the governor he's offended that they only want to take, 12%?
Yeah, 12% and then 2% for communities.
2% for communities. But the problem I have with that, it's 25% and plus or whatever else in any other state that has legalized. Why are we taking so much less taxes that we could be getting from these major corporations? What is the reason why we cutting these tax breaks for these particular corporations or whoever is ready to come in?
Well, first, you know, I'd like to quote New Jersey Weed Man with referring to them as the Caucasian Cannabis Corporation.
Caucasian Cannabis Corporations. Yes.
You know, what people have been, the battle that people have been fighting and are still in jail for, you know, now these large corporations want to come in and make all this money off of it, you know, and shut out your local weed man that you've been, you know, getting your weed from this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're saying now, this is the story that they're feeding out, that they want, because right now legal, like medical marijuana in New Jersey, I think it's around $500 an ounce.
Mm.
And whereas you can get it off the street for like $200
right.
an ounce, you know. So they're trying to say, we want to keep the taxes as low as possible to shut down the black market so that you're not getting it from your local weed man, that you're only getting it from one of these distribution centers, is what they're saying, that they're trying to shut down the illegal weed. Because if you can go out on the street and get it for less than half price, you know, you're not going to necessarily be going into the legal route.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're saying, that they want to make it harder. So, and that your local guy that's just selling weed is fine. But, you know, maybe that drug dealer might be somebody's first point of contact with getting into an opiate addiction or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I understand what they're saying, but, you know, there's still...
Because how do you... The black market is going nowhere.
Right.
So it doesn't make sense what they're saying unless their prices are going to be extremely low. So you say $500 for an ounce right now.
Right, for medical.
For medical, at the medical dispensary.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about now that the ounce is for legal ounces will be $200 then.
Right. If you're trying to directly compete with a market, you know, that's what the free market people tell us, that you've got to have it be that same price.
So you have to have it low, or your eighths or your whatever it is have to be going lower. So the current market for an eighth of marijuana in the community is about $25.
An eighth at a distribution center, one of the medical places, is, depending on the place, somewhere between $50 and $65 for an eighth.
Right. Right now.
Mm-hmm.
So unless they can go down into $25 an eighth, it's poppycock.
People are still going to support their local.
They're going to, not going to happen. So the fact that you're just giving them a tax break, and that's millions of dollars that could be still utilized, could take down pension, could reduce debt in Atlantic City, that you're basically giving back to the corporation, the marijuana corporation. And everybody else in every other state is taking their fair cut.
Right. What are we paying tax on for cigarettes in New Jersey now? Something like 35, 40% on cigarettes?
Right.
But we're going to have 12%
on marijuana.
No, I understand. You shouldn't be taxing patients at all. Like, it's a medication.
Right.
You know, and I'm not paying taxes on any other medication. I'm an asthmatic. I'm not paying taxes on my asthma medication. Mm. But you're paying all this tax on cannabis. So I understand why they're trying to bring that down. You know, that should probably be zero taxing on. It's a medication.
Right.
You're prescribed it for an illness.
So, but they know what realm that they're setting into. The other thing is that everywhere else you get plants.
Mm-hmm.
Every other state, you're allowed to grow a couple of plants yourself.
Okay, now that is they're not even paving the way for that. Home grow
because
they're
boxing us in to make us have to buy from these folks instead of us. If you really legalizing marijuana, you giving us
the opportunity. Right, if it's legal,
it's legal. But what you're doing is it's forcing us to buy from these Caucasian
cannabis corporations.
Cannabis corporations. At the end of the day, we're going to squeeze you. And what happens? I've been baffled with. All right, I can just have an ounce of weed, but I got 2 ounces. What happens to me? I get a fine. I get a ticket, or do I go to jail? And am I still tied up into the justice
system? The injustice system.
What happens?
Yeah, that one I don't know. And none of what we're saying even yet is finalized.
Right.
This is just what made it out of committee. Now there's a whole bunch more people that are going to have to vote on it and talk about it.
Right.
But these are
my questions. Yeah.
And they should be addressed. One of the bills is the expungement portion.
Mm-hmm.
And that is also not yet where it needs to be. Now, do they need to pass it and keep making it better? I don't know. But right now, the expungement was just, if you have a marijuana conviction, and that's it, then that you can go through the expungement process, which is very expensive and takes a lot of time.
Why don't they just eliminate it and take it off your record? Why do you got to do all of that?
I believe it's very complicated to do just because our system's so messed up that getting something off of your record, like, this is how the guys from UFCW explained it to me, that if there's not just a button you can push, you've got to go each individual, like if it's a municipal violation, you've got to go through the municipality. If it's a state violation, you've got to go through the state. You've got to go, that just things are not easy.
So as an individual, still, why am I having to pay for that?
Right.
Why can't I just go show up? I want to deal with this. I had a case in my municipality or a state case or whatever case, and I want to clear that. I want to get that expunged off my record. Let's say everybody doesn't care, and they whatever. Then you ain't got to worry about that person then. But if someone comes and say that I want to expunge it, why can't we go through and she goes through the process and just get it done?
Well, the guys from UFCW also pointed out to me that was a really great point. How many cops, you know, they're just charging somebody with one crime? Once they got you, like, in their midst, they're going to charge you with 5 or 6 things. It's not just that simple marijuana.
Right. So they're saying,
and none of that goes off your record currently.
Right.
That all stays on. It's only if you happen to have, like, a half an ounce of marijuana.
Right.
On,
so the marijuana aspect, that's all I'm worried about.
Mm-hmm.
You take the marijuana aspect off. But you're saying if it's a whole lot of other things in conjunction.
Which is just what cops do traditionally.
Yeah. So if I pull you over and you got marijuana, but the marijuana is thrown out, but your license was suspended or something else was
going on. Who knows what other charges they found.
And they say, well, you know, you do fall up under the 1 ounce. But your license was suspended, too, so now we can't expunge that because you had some other stuff that was going on, too.
One of the guys from UFCW is on. He was just talking. It requires an element of diversity in your company.
Cost free expungements are in the bill. Okay, okay. I like that, Maddie.
Yeah, Maddie's one of the guys from USCW. Great guy. Democrat, but I love him anyway. Hey,
maybe I can get Maddie down here. You know, we can get the community to come out and explain some of these changes and things to them, because I'm quite sure they're just as confused as I am.
What do you think, Maddie? Can we set up a town hall? You want to come and have a town hall for us? I don't know if you're still listening or not.
Get you, Maddie, maybe Weed Man, and a couple of other individuals. I know some people that are very experienced in marijuana. And then, you know,
very experienced.
I'm quite sure they'll be able to come on and lend some insight from their perspective, especially from someone who's been involved in...
Been through the system,
and trying to... want to get on board and try to figure out, all right, how can I change my marijuana business to a legal marijuana business without having $1 million?
And these guys are a really good union. They really do try to look out for workers. This is, I've had nothing but good relationships with United Food and Commercial Workers. Okay. They're a good union. They are not the enemy in this in any way, shape, or form. They are
union?
On your side.
Hey, hey Maddie, are we looking for a good union down here in Atlantic City? Somebody that's going to actually fight for the people and stand up for these blue-collar workers or any of these workers down here, where they actually come out and stand by the people. The unions we've had, they haven't...
I've walked picket lines with these guys.
They haven't been behind their people, and there haven't been no movement whatsoever in their circumstances and situation. They haven't had a raise in 5 years. Before I was there, I didn't have a raise in 5 years. It's been 10 years, so we get a raise every 5 years. I mean, it's crazy. And they have no steps. There's no bonuses. There haven't been anything beneficial in the city of Atlantic City for many of the workers. And
I think you two guys need to have a little talk.
Yeah, we could use a real union around here that stands up for its people. Because I know when a union is done right and they are led properly, they could be they're very resourceful and beneficial.
Right. Historically, unions are what got us every worker protection we have. You know, if you're not a child in a coal mine, mm-hmm. you know, it's not just going to be the generosity of the owner's heart that's going to, you know...
give you what you need.
Right, yeah. Well, we've got enough profit now. We'll take care of you guys. No, it's unions and worker groups, and they've lost so much of the power of what they could be and what they should be and what they were in the past, that if we can get unions, you know, a little bit more strength... then we're not going to have $8 an hour minimum wage.
I mean,
we'll be having a living wage.
I think the Teamsters need to go find what's my man that they've been looking for all of this time, because they was good when it was back then, when the Teamsters was all right then. But now, you know, the Teamsters is not what they used to be. So they better go find their man.
That's true of all unions. They're losing membership because they're being villainized by popular media. Again, we need to, workers and people need our own media.
I think if unions are strong and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing for their members, they won't lose members. But when you don't do the job that you say that you come to do, and you don't represent them, and you working hand in hand with the enemy, that's where
there's not the solidarity. Unions are fighting other unions.
You know,
and we're all representing the same workers.
So when they come to do what they're supposed to do, unions are very powerful, and you won't lose members when you represent the people and you take care of the people and doing what you're supposed to do. I just haven't seen none in Atlantic City around here. That's all.
I don't even know what unions are in Atlantic City.
I haven't
seen. Are there unions?
AFSCME.
Because I know there's
Teamsters. Those they need to be burnt.
Or they need to be out. Smashed and made better. One of the two, you know.
Smashed and made better. I don't know. Once a culture is infiltrated with a certain culture, that's what the culture is. They're like Atlantic City Democrats, like Atlantic County Democrats. They have a culture that, even right now, why would you vote for anybody? Because we're getting into that next. You're getting into the next. Why would you vote for anybody that comes out of Atlantic County Democrats after you've seen over the last year all the drama and stuff that they've been going through? Dealing with the mayor and everything else over the last year. The greed, the arguing, the backbiting, them running to law enforcement. I'd be sprayed to death right now if I deal anything with Atlantic County Democrats or Atlantic City Democrats that somebody's wearing a wire or somebody's listening to what's going on or somebody's trying to set me up.
Yeah, that's a scary thought.
So if that's the organization, if you want to be set up, if you want to deal with anybody on that type of level right there with crime and criminality and things like that, Atlantic City Democrats and Atlantic County Democrats, these people are crime magnets. You're bound to go to jail if you're messing with them folks. So watch your back. Watch your back.
We also just have bad policies. I mean, that's why I'm
not. Well, they're bad policies because it's not fair. Look at the candidates that they put up. Even when you have good candidates, African-American candidates and things like that, they still find a way to put a white candidate in for assembly and things like that.
I did an interview with Kanzi Youngblood a couple months back, and she really opened up about what she went through with dealing with all the different Atlantic County, Cumberland County, Salem County, that I think it was a Salem County chair had said to her, well, you know, this is a very conservative district. What that means is we want to run a white guy, you know?
Yeah.
And she was just met with nothing but obstruction from the people that say, yeah, we support your community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we tokenize your community.
And my community didn't support her. African Americans didn't support her in Atlantic City. Atlantic City Council members didn't support her. You know, a black woman, whatever it is. They jumped on a bandwagon who they thought they could ride, the white man, and they figured the white dude was going to get them more little perks and monies on the side or whatever it is they get from them. And that's why they supported the white man versus Tansy Youngblood. And all Atlantic City Democrats, I'm going to bring Tansy back on my show because we want to talk about it. She has a whole gripe against
she's very open about
just in her whole experience.
Yeah.
Even, you know, she's offended that the people in our community and how they transpire.
Maddie just said that's Atlantic County politics since I've been alive.
You know, she was just like, I can't believe that the African-American folks in there. I said, believe it. Atlantic City Democrats and those guys when they start talking that black stuff, trust me, that's not real. That's not genuine. If they're talking about, oh, support us or this and that, whatever it is, because they do nothing for the black community. They manipulate, they take advantage, and they use. And then they turn around and put people in place that basically are counterproductive to African-Americans, even if they're African-American. And so why would we support Atlantic County Democrats or Atlantic City Democrats? You should never support either one of those groups. Whoever that candidate is, trust me, you do not want to support them.
Are you going to announce your run today here online?
I'm not announcing the run, but I'm announcing anybody, if you're running on Atlantic County or Atlantic City Democrats under them, I'm against you. Automatically. I don't care who it is.
This guy here.
I'm against you.
The sewer support.
I'm against you. Anybody that's down with Atlantic County Democrats, I'm against you. If you're down with Atlantic City Democrats, I'm against you. Because that place is horrible. Why would you do anything with them? And don't worry about it. We're going to be talking about that history and everything that they did for the next several months until something is satisfied. Because we don't know what's going on with the mayor of Atlantic City right now. And darn, we're going to let somebody that come out of that group represent us again because he came out of there.
Yeah, for any listeners and now that don't know.
All of them want to
support. What was it? The FBI and the IRS was a...
FBI.
Who knows what that's all about.
They're raiding the mayor's house, but he wasn't incarcerated.
He wasn't arrested.
They didn't lock him up. So we don't know what it is, whatever the case may be. Some people are talking about some of the issues that after the election a year ago, that the Atlantic City Democrats charged them with stealing. And what was going on in that particular situation... They both were mad at each other, trying to steal the same money.
That it ended up in a wrong bank account.
I guess the mayor stole it before the other side stole it. So, you know, they fighting over stolen money, and you know, at the end of the day, I guess the mayor got it, and he's going to get it for stealing it. So, I don't know, but he took the money. They mad because he took the money. It's about the money. Why are we vote for anybody with an organization like that? They start fighting against the person who they just got elected the day after. Because they were fighting for money. They might fight for your positions or your community or what they want to do in your community. As a matter of fact, have you heard anything about the Atlantic County Democrats? About what they're doing right now in the community at all? Or where they at? Where they at?
Nope, Mo Delgado joined us.
All you see is the Atlantic County Democrats right now. Trying to smear the mayor right now and make Atlantic City look dirtier. That's all you see. They're not doing what's positive about what they're doing. So,
Maddie, was that what the investigation yesterday was about? Was missing campaign money?
They knew about missing campaign money last year after the election when they started complaining about it. Tibbetts started complaining about it. The Atlantic City Democrats, because they were fighting over that. It wasn't missing. They were fighting over it.
Or is there other money that's missing?
Other money. Tibbetts said that he took some checks from him and signed off some checks from him also. So some other stuff that was going on also. But they knew that last year. But what happened was a new, fresh election, and they used the mayor. They said, yeah, we got you on tape. We got you. Whatever it is, we got you on. But we're not going to say nothing until we're done using you. So for a whole year, they didn't give him no directors. He couldn't do no moves. That already told you right there. They already had him pinned. They already had him. They already had
him. He was already under their thumb.
Yeah, he was already under them. So all they wanted him to do was be quiet for a year while they make sure they get this whole takeover thing through, while they finish passing all that takeover money, while they finish with the lawyer money that they're sending up north, and they stretch everything out and get everything done that they want to accomplish over the whole year, and then while they done, well, the mayor got the mayor in the fight situation really made it worse, brought a lot of attention. Now, they might have let him skate for a while because they knew he did this. They've been holding off for this. So now he done made a black eye and got all this attention and things like that. People are looking at what's going on, so now they're going to come and get him for something that they already knew that he did a long time ago. But they just used him for the whole year. You see people jockeying right now for position, talking about they doing this and they doing that. They're giving people money. They're giving raises because they knew the stuff was coming. They knew something was coming. And then you started seeing people jockeying for position like, oh, yeah. You know, blue-collar workers, I'm going to give y'all a raise and a stipend and all of this stuff. Lies. Lies.
Maddie's got a good question of who's giving the Atlantic County Dems money in the first place. Norcross would be the answer.
Yeah, political bosses. Norcross, Sweeney. Same individuals. They're getting paid. They're taking resources from Creta. He got the nice contract over there. You don't hear no mayor or no council saying anything about that. They don't have no problem with anything. Now, what Sweeney and what the state and everything need right now is another good puppet. They want somebody that's going to be up there, that's not going to get in the way, that's going to keep their mouth shut while they rape us and take everything that they have from out of us. And that individual, as long as his face is in the newspaper, and as long as he's being seen, most Atlantic City politicians is happy. I just want to be the HNIC. The head Negro over the rest of the Negroes. I don't care about the rest of the state, rest of the stuff. The state's taking all the money and Creta and all of that stuff. I just want to be the HNIC. And as long as I'm over a chalky white, our politicians they just want to be chalky. They want to let Nookie have all the power, have all the money. I just want to be chalky. Let me be the head person over all the black folk. And that's what we have in Atlantic City. You got a bunch of jokers ain't doing nothing but just want to be head over black people. And right now, they're getting duped by white folk who really said they ain't even duping them. The white folks not even duping them. They just coming in and taking anything. These jokers is giving it to them. So prepare to have a flunky at the next top. It's going to be a flunky, trust me. They're not going to try to put nobody in there that's going to challenge them, question anything, do anything like that. They looking for the next flunky. And you got a bunch of them lining up. So, you know, I just, you know.
We've been talking for an hour and a half now.
Yeah, but, you know, they set the mayor up. This is set up. They already had him set up for a whole year. Mm-hmm. They've been planning. They knew the whole time. And he just probably put his own self in that whole situation, I think, with this fight thing where they said, all right, enough is enough. We're going to come and we already know about
that. Made him vulnerable.
Yeah, made him vulnerable. Now, we don't need you no more. They didn't need him. So now they come in and they're
going to... Now they're going to throw them away. They don't need them anymore.
And they're going to try to put another flunky in there. But we're not going to try to let that happen.
Right.
But,
Power is, you know, that's what it is. It's got to be a person who's looking out for people.
Again,
I think we're good. I think we've talked long enough here. Yeah, Heather, we'll come back. I'll be back again. I promise.
This is my girl with me right here, Heather Warburton, New Jersey Radio Revolution. They're about, you know, passion about... You know what I mean? Saving our state and representing us and equality and things like that.
Take no corporate money at New Jersey Revolution. Not a dime of corporate money.
What's your email, your address and things like that?
You can go on to our website. That's www.njrevolutionradio.com. If you want to help us out, even if it's just a dollar, you know, we take no corporate money. We don't have advertising, so we can just bring, you know, a message from that's about the people, and it's people funded. So if you click on donate, there's a make a contribution link right on there. You know, you can donate through PayPal, through Venmo, through Patreon.
I got to get all of that stuff set up.
You do.
You know, I need some donations, man.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It costs money to put out a podcast. It does. You know.
Well, I did. I had everything set up almost. Kind of, sort of. And I got it, but, I just got to make it do what it do.
Right. You've got to pay for a website. You've got to pay for your bandwidth. You've got to pay for all that. And it comes out of your pocket.
It all expired in 2 years. So I've had it over 2 years. Right. And that I didn't put it to work, like, you know, at all. But now it expired, so I need to get it back up and going. But this is the Voice of AC. I'm Henry Hank Green. Monday through Friday, I'm going to try to, you know, step up on what we're doing on the page and keep us up to date on different news and topics. Maybe you'll see me pop up in the community and have interviews with just regular random people and sometimes with
state officials. Maybe you'll see him as mayor of Atlantic City in the not too distant future.
Hey, you know, with the proper support, you know what I mean? That's a possibility too. Maybe there's somebody else that would like to run, and I encourage young ladies and ladies to run. Anybody that's genuine about making moves and changes and not about down with being with the system, get at me. If it ain't me, as long as it's somebody else that stands up and it ain't the same people who that's been running. We need new people to step up and be leaders in this community. It doesn't have to be me, but it needs to be someone else other than anybody else that's been out there. And we need new people. And so this is the end of Radio Revolutions, and we'll be talking to you soon. Peace.